Gospel for this morning is taken from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So just to get this out of the way, we had a good trip to Norway. Norway is doing just fine. In fact, it's booming over there. They're doing very well, those Norwegians. And we had a very nice time while we were there. And Kirsten's family is doing great too. So it was wonderful. The gospel text for today, taken from the Gospel of John, is from a section that is known as the High Priestly Prayer. And it's a section of the Gospel of John which really helps to epitomize the fact that the Gospel of John is oftentimes referred to as the spiritual gospel, sometimes even mystical. John's gospel focuses more squarely and clearly on the spirituality of what it means to be a Christian, the personal spiritual relationship with the living God in Jesus Christ is a very big part of the Gospel of John. Now, John uses a lot of metaphors for Jesus to try to explain who he is, because as human beings who exist in space and time and who can perceive objects in space and time, but who do not have the ability to see God because God is not an object in space and time, God is spirit, everywhere present, all the time, and unchanging, and therefore not open to our ability to perceive, and therefore not open to our ability to study and understand like objects are. So John uses metaphors to talk about Jesus because in John's gospel, he is very clear about the fact that Jesus Christ was sent precisely in order to bring us into a relationship with the living God, whom we cannot see and cannot know except insofar as this God makes himself known to us in some tangible way, which, John says, this God did by being born in a human being, Jesus of Nazareth. And therefore, John's gospel emphasizes Jesus' identity, not only as a human being, but also as God. And that is not something that we can just readily understand. So John uses a lot of metaphors for what that means for us. What does it mean to have a relationship with the author of the universe? What does that look like? In other words, is God simply an idea that we have in our heads that we believe in? Is God just a concept? Is God so inaccessible and remote that there's no experience of God? Or is God, even though we can't see, touch, hear with our senses, is God nevertheless a being that we can experience as being present in our lives? And if so, what does that look like? What does it look like to experience God? So John struggles using metaphors. He calls Jesus, for example, the good shepherd. God is like a shepherd who seeks us out because we're like sheep. We're wandering through the world. We come into this world without any relationship with God and without any knowledge of God. We come into this world not knowing anything about God. And should we grow up in the context of a situation where there was no opportunity to have someone witness to us or to direct us or to guide us to God, we would go out of the world without ever having known that there was a God in the first place. And so Jesus is the good shepherd because he seeks us out and tries to bring us into a relationship with this God who is the author of our very lives, even though we don't see him or hear him directly. He calls himself the light of the world because you can see God through the presence of Jesus Christ. Light enables us to see. Jesus enables us to see the presence of God. He calls himself the bread of life because insofar as we consume through faith, sometimes the language is very concrete. So far as we consume Jesus, we receive the presence of God into our lives. So in today's text, Jesus is very speaks in very intimate ways about how it is that we have a relationship with God and what that means. He talks about the fact that the Father is in him. He is at one with God, whatever that means. And that he has come in order that we might be also one in him and in God. In other words, that we might actually participate in divine life. That we might actually experience the presence spiritually. Okay, so we can't see, hear, or touch God, but there is a way in which human beings connect with God, and that is inside, in your hearts, because God touches our hearts. The Spirit of God comes into, I don't want to use the word mystical, because the word mystical has connotations that I don't like. But it's like we actually can participate in God's life through God's Spirit. When God's Spirit enters our hearts, we can participate in divine life. And by participating in divine life, we receive the gifts that God came to give us in Jesus Christ. God came to give us the gifts that we could not possibly receive on our own. Now, when Jesus came into the world, what did he see? Because the world was not prepared for Jesus. The world was not waiting for Jesus. The world didn't ask for him. He just showed up. And what Jesus encountered was a world that was looking for God in all the wrong places. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, is the first commandment for a reason. And that is that it is the foundation stone of all the other commandments. The human heart hungers for God just like our bodies hunger for food. Every human being latches on to something or things as the matter of ultimate concern and meaning, as the foundation of their lives. Everyone latches on to something that they could not imagine life without. That if they lost this something, it would be as if they died spiritually inside. That hunger for that something that is unchanging, that we can build the foundation of our lives upon, that we can count on in any and all circumstances, and that addresses all of the brokenness and existential issues that are involved in human life, that something is God. We all hunger for God. Jesus came in order that he might lead us into a relationship with the God who can heal our conscience, with the God who can heal our broken hearts, with the God who can give us hope that is above and beyond the passing temporary hopes that we rely on. They're here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus came to give us a relationship with the God who can lift us up and enable us to find new life, even in the midst of situations where we feel as if we're dead inside and can't find the strength on our own. Jesus came to give us a relationship with the God who even addresses the issue of the shadow of death that lurks next door to every person. Everybody, Jesus talked about life as being a path. He said there's two paths in life. One's broad, and it's the easy path. It's the one that represents finding easy answers to life. Quick, immediate answers. Simple. The path that represents a life that is centered on acquiring more and more wealth, acquiring more and more pleasure, acquiring more and more fame, acquiring more and more whatever. And then there's the narrow path. And that is the path that leads to divine life. The path whereby we actually can participate in the life of God as a real presence in our lives. Jesus came to open up that pathway for us so that we would be able to find the ultimate answer to some questions which I realize a lot of people don't ask these questions. Sometimes I want to ask people, do you ever ask yourself the question, where did I come from? How did I get here? I mean, is this just the result of random events in the universe? Was there a, you know, irrespective of the degree to which science can penetrate the riddles of where the universe came from and how life arose, is it all just random? An accident? Have you ever asked yourself the question as to why you might be here? Do you think there's really an answer to that question? And if not, why don't you ask that? Some people wait until they're in the doctor's office and the doctor says, I'm sorry, you're not going to live much longer. Then we start asking the question, right? Because then It's a concrete reality staring us straight in the face. Then we become like that guy who amassed barns and barns filled with grain, sat back, took his ease, believed that his life was now set. He could feel secure and provided for. And then all of a sudden, that very night, his life was required of him. Job said, we come into the world naked and we go out of the world naked. We come into the world with nothing and we go out with nothing. Jesus also said, in connection to that, he said, what does it profit you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? What does it mean to lose your soul? It means losing everything you lived for. Is life more than my house, my car, my job, even my family? Is life more than that, or is that it? If that's it, then let's just be honest about it, right? If that's it, then life is meaningful for the time we have on this planet, and then after that, there's just nothing. It's a big black hole. And it's eternal, and it's forever. But if life is more than those things, then we have to learn how to connect to what that more is. And that's why Jesus Christ was sent into the world, to connect us to our source and our destination. And to be able to participate in the life of the presence of God right now in the present. God isn't simply a being who's waiting for us on the other side of death. God is present right now, offering himself to us. And insofar as we have an open heart, and that's what faith is. Faith isn't the believing in things that can't be proven. Some kind of blind, just, you know, leap into nothing. Faith is trusting in Jesus Christ, who brings the reality of divine life into our souls. And through that divine life, we can find a love that never quits. We can find mercy and forgiveness for all of those imperfections that are in our lives that we know are there. And we can find a source of life that will never, ever end. Father, I want them to be in me and in you as I am in you, that they may know that you have sent me. And the glory you have given me, I will give to them. And that glory is divine love and life. Amen.